Carl pulled a 20 out of his coat pocket and shook it at her. For the first time since he'd been choked, he tried to speak. His voice was as rough as the back of a rasp, and it hurt like hell to use it.
I got money, he said. All I want is a cup of coffee, ma'am, and maybe some eggs. I got money, please, ma'am.
The woman stopped a good 10 feet away from him and gave him the eye.
I'm down on my luck, ma'am, he said. I don't mean no harm. You can take the whole 20 if that's it. I just want a square meal. It ain't often I can afford to have one someone else ain't thrown out first.
She was still glaring at him, her arms crossed beneath her ample bosom.
You can't eat here. You scare my customers.
There were no other customers in the place.
Please, ma'am, just a cup of coffee, a biscuit, anything.
The woman appeared unmoved, but the fact that she hadn't started screaming at him seemed a good sign to Carl.
If you could be so kind, ma'am, he said softly. The Lord loves them what helps the down and out.
The waitress snorted at that, turned on the heel of her orthopedic shoes, and walked off. Carl wondered if she would go into the kitchen and tell the squat man to come run him off. Until he would find out, he watched the news on the television that was bolted to the wall above the diner counter. He was the news. His escape, the search for him, the warning to citizens not to approach him, but to call the police if they thought they had spotted him. Larger than life, Carl thought, and it pleased him. It wasn't often in his life that he had been considered important. When the news people moved on to the next story, it was of Judge Carrie Moore. She had been attacked in a parking ramp last night and rushed to the Hennepin County Medical Center. Carl wondered if she had been there at the same time he had. That would be something, he thought, that the woman who had championed him that very day would be in the same emergency room as him, and maybe even because of him. She had been the talk of the county jail, much of it lewd and crude talk, because she was a beautiful woman, and all men in prison tended to think about besides getting out was having sex. The notion that she was a judge excited them all the more. To take a woman in a position of power and dominate her was a very erotic fantasy. Carl felt it working on him as he watched file footage of Judge Moore giving a press conference. Her eyes were large and unblinking, her expression very serious. Her mouth was every man's wet dream, the upper lip a perfect Cupid's bow, the lower one full and slightly downturned, as if she was on the verge of a pout. Her neck was smooth and pale and elegant. Carl had never known a woman like that, not in any sense of the word. She was an angel. She was his angel. The television was showing a picture of her home, a live shot, the crawler on the bottom of the screen said. It was a beautiful brick house with a neat yard and a black iron fence, not a mansion, but the kind of house a lady would live in. The reporter talked about how people in that neighborhood were never bothered by terrible crimes, but a crime had been visited upon one of their own, how one of their own was paying the price for siding with a murderer. Live, near Lake of the Isles, Candy Cross, Channel 3 News. Lake of the Isles. What a fine-sounding place. The large Greek lady came across the room of empty tables, still scowling, but with a styrofoam carton and cup. She set them on the table and stepped back before Carl's lice could jump on her.
Here, she said. But you can't eat here. You scare my customers. Go away.
God bless you, ma'am,
Carl whispered, and handed the woman the 20. She folded the bill and stuffed it down her cleavage. She didn't come back with change.